Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Everybody, welcome to Used Wigs Radio, episode 90. How's this sounding, guys? Hey, reverb-y, is it okay? Good? Sexy? Making you want to enjoy me?
Ooh, yeah.
I'm Jeff Lyons, your co-host. Next to me is Todd Marone at ToddMarone.com. To my left, manning the knobs, is Rusty Static. And you may have noticed a ringtone being played. That is our guest on the banquette tonight. Professional funny person, Twitter phenom and menace, of course, Nikki Walter, a.k.a. Turbo Grandma. Give it up for Nikki, everybody. Thank you for sitting down with us tonight, Nikki.
Yes.
And as your reward, a little treat, we're going to give you a little something. Russ, do we have a little something
we can
give
Nikki?
We
do have a little something for Nikki.
Sure.
I knew it.
Yes. This is a song I love, and I just figured it's something that I like to listen to.
You dicks.
Let's give her enough to really spike the brain.
Oh, God.
It's like a classic rock song. I don't know if most people are familiar with, but it's one of those songs you like to hear a lot. You hear it and forget about it, like, within minutes, but...
It was very difficult for us to get the rights to this.
Yeah.
It's been in my head for 13 days, and that's why they're playing this, and I just want to die.
This is, I believe, Golden Earring.
That's correct, yes.
And this is my favorite Golden Earring song.
It's my favorite.
What is the album this is on? It's like Moon something?
I want to hear where I got this off of. This is one of those songs where you do a search and you want to get it, but there's not, like... You'd have to... Golden Earring's greatest hits is... this with four other versions of it. So I got, it was like Keep Truckin' soundtrack, various artists of horrible, like, songs you listen to when you're driving.
Like a Time Life series?
Yeah, but it was like real budget artwork. So yeah, this is Golden Earring. And Nikki, I noticed you mentioned that this song you can't get out of your head.
13 days.
Isn't it weird when you live with something and you tell yourself, like, it shouldn't be there? And then it just keeps popping up, right?
Yeah, it just keeps accidentally popping up.
Yeah, weird.
It's interesting how that happens on podcasts.
Well, that's a really kludgy seg I just wanted to start the show with. I know. But first of all, we're at Latage, as we always are. Let's give it up for Latage. And Doobie back there, everybody. Please take care of him. He's taking care of us. We're at Latage Creperia, and as you might have heard, we've been promoting the show. We have a special cheese-tastic show lined up for you. Madame Fromage is coming up soon. But before that, we had to partake in a little nonsense. Getting songs stuck in your head. We've all had it. I know as a dad, the thing that gets stuck in your head all the time is really crappy children's songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't, like, I have had, when you said that, it resonated with me because I have a Fresh Beat Band song in my head for 2 straight years, and it's
goes all something like this.
And I want to strangle that guy. I literally, like, when he comes on TV... And, like, my 2 kids look at me, and they're all excited. They're like, there he is, and he's so much fun. And I'm just seething with rage. And I'm like, he is great. You're right, guys. Love him. But there's nothing you can do to get out of your head.
What's the, in particular, the tall
Twist.
White guy? Yeah, Twist, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you do? How do you manage? How do you try to get the song out?
Well, the last time that I had a song in my head this badly, it was actually Chumbawamba's Tub Thumper.
That's a good one to have. Tub Thumping.
Are you serious?
It's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't believe I'm here. It was in my head for 20 days, and it actually drove me to tears in front of an Annie Ann's in the Hanover Mall in South Central Pennsylvania. I started crying in public because I couldn't take it anymore. It was just, I get knocked down, and I get up again. And I think the uplifting nature of the song made me feel happy, but then when I would think about how terrible the band is, offense to your favorite band, but when I think about how bad they were, I just broke down in front of Nanny Ann's. I, like, tearfully ordered a garlic pretzel in public. It was awful. It's one of the worst moments of my life so far.
Do they have any other songs? Yeah. That's another band.
Annie Ann's?
Annie Ann's.
Yeah.
They have 2 songs.
Yeah, no. They have lots of songs.
They were kind of like an anarchist band. That was just like a novelty song they did. I'm serious. That was completely
anarchist?
Out of character for from them. Yeah, I'm no one really cares. I'll just stop it.
One thing Jeff doesn't care about is Chumbawamba.
That's I really true. Know.
Right?
That is true. I keep saying you defended Chumbawamba.
I'm defending the Chumba part. I thought the whole idea of it's kind of like a drinking song. It's a fun, you know, whiskey drink, something else drink, beer drink, right?
Yeah, but you can't understand anything, so unless you like whiskey or vodka, you're kind of excluded. So it's kind of a shitty song, really.
How great was the version that They Might Be Giants did at the Onion AV Club?
That was great.
Where they got, it was the two, you know, They Might Be Giants, and then they got all the staffers, the two giants, if you will, and they got all the staffers from the AV Club just to sit around them and sing that part.
Yeah,
and just
great.
To bounce. And the song's much better than Chumbawamba's, and it added an element of fun to it.
So this podcast is ruined forever now. It's tarnished.
Did you just see a horrible...
Cause, yeah, because of Chumbawamba.
All right, people. Well, I have a topic that I want to bring up, and I think this might play into some of your favorite things, being completely embarrassed. I almost died the other day on Sunday. I was running on a beautiful fall morning, and you know when you're really trying to enjoy the day? And sometimes as you're doing something, you're like, let me just look up and enjoy everything, the leaves, the sun, the quiet. And I'm going downhill, and I'm just going along slow. And I'm like, sorry, go a little faster, kind of enjoying myself. It is such a beautiful day. Some maniac on the crew of whatever they were doing in the street, putting electrical things, just left a giant roll of metal wire on the sidewalk.
Maniac.
I mean,
it was a maniac.
He probably was like dressed like the Hamburglar, like
sneaking away like this, right? Exactly. And they're in the bushes watching me.
That's right.
And I swear to God, I didn't see it. And I just felt like a claw, like a monster claw, grab both of my feet at the same time. And I flew. I literally was flying. And I was the most lucid I've been in just years. I'm like, I'm flying. I'm going to fall. And this might kill me. And then I just fell. And I landed on my hands. And I skidded. And I had gloves on. And they were all like ripped upside. And I'm just laying.
Running gloves.
Oh, horrible.
I bet the tips of the fingers were probably cut out.
Yeah, you did almost die.
I'm embarrassed. There were mittens. Thank God I had them. That was cold. All right, give me a break. My parka got ripped up.
Man.
So I'm just like laying there. And you know, like, sometimes you're like, you're waiting for the hurt to come and you're just laying there. And I just rolled over. And I'm like, if I was cool and if I cared, I'd just jump up and be like, I'm okay. You're like, yeah, no problem. I'm just laying there. I'm just like waiting for the pain. And it eventually came. I stood up. I'm like shaking.
Once it got through the yarn on your mittens, yeah.
I had to stop and darn my mittens for a while. I had a darning kit, some thread. But anyway, and then I just kind of went on with my day and it hurt a lot. But it was one of those things where it hurts. But I was so like embarrassed, but I was so relieved no one saw me, right?
So the burglar,
the guy in the bush,
the menacing man,
right? Yeah. In his little burglar outfit, his little sneaky outfit.
I hope they get that maniac.
Have you ever done something so incredibly embarrassing that you got away with, or you're completely caught?
Oh,
and
caught.
I I love watching people fall and kind of get hurt. True?
I fall all the time.
Right?
I do. Yeah? I'm pretty tall, and I wear unreasonable shoes a lot. Actually, though, in high school, my most memorable fall of all time happened in high school. I'm from a small town, and so our big thing was...
Falling? Big thing?
Yeah,
we're just known
just,
for...
That's all we did there, was falling.
Clutchtown, PA?
Yeah. Falling in meth. No, I was... our big thing was going to Red Lobster. We would get, like, 10 people to go to Red Lobster. Like, that was the great thing, the great get. I can't believe we got in. And I was kind of ass.
Your fake lobster eating IDs.
I was like, I saw this chain. It was like a part of the parking lot. Parking lot? A part of the parking lot had been chained off. This chain was probably a foot off the ground, maybe. And I was like, hey guys, I'm going to clear this. And I assumed that I would because it's a foot off the ground. And I didn't. And my foot caught and I flailed. I fluttered, as one of my friends said. I fluttered in the air like an embarrassing butterfly. And then I just face planted in a Red Lobster parking lot.
Was this pre or post lobster meal?
It was after.
Was there just, did you?
Everybody was really concerned. And then they they just howled. I feel like everything embarrassing that happens to me happens at Chains. Yeah. It doesn't.
I hope it wasn't during Lobster Fest.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you picture Nikki lying there, her bib in tatters, just like lying there, and like
I had
two
mittens on. It was fine.
Oh, and two claws come out of her pockets and she was sneaking. They're like, oh, someone took some extra claws. I don't know. I've never
it was known. Traumatizing.
Todd.
My specialty is falling upstairs. You know what I mean? Like, I think I've cornered the market on that. So, and I think it's because like I get way too enthusiastic about getting up the stairs, and I do it like really fast, and the first one or two, I've fallen upstairs in my middle school and had students, other middle school students, like, oh my god, are you okay? Oh my god, Mr. Marone, oh my god, are you okay? You know, as recently as this week. So up the stairs. So,
Is that funny?
Yeah. Oh,
don't you picture the other teachers, like, they're hanging out smoking, whatever teachers do, and then, like, they see Todd pull up in his car, and they're like, oh, wait, well, here comes Todd, here's the stairs, here he goes. And you're like...
I remember particularly falling up the stairs once at a casino, and I was, like, just 21, and I felt, like, really cool and growing up to be able to, legally and officially get into the casino, and, like, boom, the stairs, like, the first two or three, I, like, zip right back down.
Russ, epic
falls. It has to be one that people saw.
Well, I'd like to think that you either got away with, where you're just like, holy crap, I can't wait on this, or everyone enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, so the story that Nikki told, maybe remember this thing I haven't thought about for a long time. So speaking of like the funny gloves.
Yeah,
funny gloves. So I was like probably in junior high, and my friend up the street, like everybody was really big into skateboarding at the time, and he went and bought like these special gloves that had these little knobby things on the hands that were supposed to be like skateboarder gloves. And he really thought that these things were like Spider-Man gloves. Like, I think that he thought you could probably climb a building and they were so sticky and so tacky. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that would help you do your crazy tricks or whatever. So we were down at the playground down at the end of the street. And there was, like, it was one of these ancient, like, playgrounds they probably built in the 40s. It was just like, you know, everything you would think, like, a bad Long Island playground would be. It was just, like, a bunch of pipes and crap.
You don't have to say bad.
Sticking up out of concrete that they, like... You know, there was like a bunch of pull-up bars.
Sounds like a work site. Are you sure it wasn't a work site?
No, I'm sure it was a work site.
There was construction going on there.
So there were three...
Hey, guys, come on. We're going to Thunderdome Playground. I don't know what I named it then.
So there were three, like, pull-up bars all made out of pipes, different lengths.
There were a lot of rebar around?
Then there was one of those, like, monkey bars ones that you would hang on, right? So what we used to always do is climb up on the monkey bars, and if you jumped and, like, put your arms out and you, like, flew, you could just grab... the pull-up bars, like, in flight and then swing through.
Right.
Which was a crazy thing to do without the gloves. But then we were there. My friend was like, hey, I got these crazy new sticky gloves. And I was like, let me try them for that trick. And thinking that I would just jump and it would be effortless and I would just stick to it and it would be perfect. And what happened was I jumped, hit the bar, and... I might as well have been wearing mittens because I slid under it and then was vertically, like, back to the ground, flying along parallel to the ground because I just, like, slipped under and landed on like, the bone of your neck.
Yeah, yeah, neck bone.
Yeah, and I couldn't breathe. Yeah, whatever this thing is.
It's a neck bone.
And I literally couldn't breathe for probably 2 minutes because I remember I landed and I just sat up and they were all, like, looking at me shocked while I was just going, oh! And I thought I was going to die. Like,
and how quickly did they turn to laughter? Like, were they?
No, really, no, it actually never really turned to laughter because they all also thought I was going to die. In fact, this one friend of mine, Matt Federer, I saw him slowly backing up.
Like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, like, he was going to get on his bike and get the hell out of there.
I'd probably do that.
When he dies, I'm definitely getting in trouble.
Right, right.
That was, like, so that grounded. Was the vibe that they all had.
So yeah,
Matt, we just got a phone call. Were you there when Russ died? Oh, no,
at
all.
No. Yeah.
Russ died.
And it's still fairly embarrassing. Yeah.
I was just saying, today is the day that it turned to laughter.
Oh, you're right.
After, so I'm glad we could be here with you.
Therapeutic, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. A little therapeutic.
Yeah.
30 years later. Did the mullet cushion at all?
I did not have a mullet at that
just
time.
It was pre-mullet.
It was pre-mullet. It was budding.
Hey, do you guys want to hear the new used radio jingle?
Sure.
We commissioned one, guys. Let's hear it, Russ.
Used wigs, available wherever podcasts are stolen or sold. Used wigs, Jeff will never shut up, and he's so old. At usedwigsradio.com.
sex with your hot mom. Used wigs, used wigs. Todd is short and hairy and he's kind of a creep. Used wigs, used wigs. And Russ, the angry bastard who loves spreadsheets. Used wigs.
Guys, that was the new Used Wigs jingle by one of my most favorite people in the world, Eli Braden, comedian, funny person, musician. You hear Eli a lot on the Howard Stern Show. He does a lot of risque songs, you would say, very topical songs, very insanely funny. And Eli will do jingles for just about anybody for some money. You give him $20, and Eli, no lie, will write you a song. And go to his... you can check out elibraden.com, and he has what we call the Song of the Day with Eli Braden, and he'll write you a jingle, and he did one for us.
I'm very embarrassed that, you know, when Jeff first sent that around, I didn't know that he had commissioned that to be done, so I was like, no way, like, he really must listen to it. he really knows some details about the show. I was really into it.
Meanwhile, Jeff fed the details and paid him.
I fed him a couple of things.
I was like, oh, well, that's not as cool then. Okay.
And for that $20, he will say he enjoyed the podcast. Yeah. That was an extra $5 I had to throw. But seriously, he is one of the funny, right? I mean, you're friends with him, right, Nikki?
Yeah.
How great is he?
Like, he's pretty great.
Oh, I was telling you, thanks for really just taking that and going running with it, Nick. That was helpful.
Well, I when I hung out with him, he was shooting a video and I brushed his wig for a really long time. And I feel like that's when I really got to see the true side of him. We also actually saw his genitals accidentally.
Wow.
Well, it's not my fault. I mean,
that $20 also?
it was actually $5. No, it was when he was shooting his video and we were in it and he was wearing really short cutoff shorts and the pockets were hanging down.
Yep.
That's how short they were, and he put his leg up on the table and he was like thrusting his body and we saw some stuff.
He's a large guy. He's not like, you know, you'd call like a waif model or anything like that.
No.
He's a big, yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a waif.
Yeah, but you're into his video, the Kardashian video. Mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah, it's a very, very funny one. So go to elibraden.com or just follow him on the Twitter at Eli Braden.
Yes.
Where does he live?
Los Angeles.
Where's his exact address?
El Cino.
This is the creep part of the song that you added in about.
Well, you know. Didn't someone live up to the creep part?
Forget it.
Genitals, you say.
Hey, did you see that we have another former guest?
Former guest,
another
we do.
Former guest, and that we have super fan Brad Sukala here.
Brad Sukala, how you doing, Brad? Thanks for coming out tonight.
It's like a reunion.
It is
really. Like a reunion.
It's awesome. Hey, I have to do the epic fall story, not mine, but you know when you have epic stories with your friends? I hate using the word epic, but this is truly, in the true sense of the word, epic, where you bring up the guy's name and everybody's like, oh, him. We had this guy, Mark. We're like 3 years out of college. We all lived together, me and my two friends. And it was a house. All we did was had parties. And we were like, we're going to have parties. We're going to pretend we're still college kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so every weekend we had parties. We'd hire DJs. And so one morning we're bringing in kegs. And this guy appeared out of nowhere. And his name was Mark. And he goes, hey, guys, what are you doing? We're like, we're having a party. He's like, you need help? We're like, yeah, help us. So he's like helping us bring in stuff. And he's one of those things where you meet somebody and like everything you say, he's like, yeah, I know him. And yeah, I do that. And we all like fell in love with Mark, the three of us, like within minutes, like he's a really great guy. He's going to be a really great neighbor, Mark. We love him. Then like our girlfriends come over later and he's just charming like everybody. And they're like, he's a really nice guy. We're like, Mark's awesome. And he was at the party. He's one of those guys you don't have to worry about at the party where you're like, oh, I don't know if Mark knows anybody. Like within minutes, he was regaling groups and he's just hanging out. And everybody, you know, was just kind of gravitating towards him. He was that kind of force, like the sun, and we're just all planets around Mark.
It's going to be a hell of a fall from grace.
Oh, it is. And it was like the perfect party, and we had, you know, and I just remember like looking in the room, and we had Joey Sweeney of Celebrity was DJing our party. He was hanging out there. I remember just hanging out at the table, and I'm like looking, I'm like, oh crap, we need ice. I don't want to go out. And like I just kind of said it to like someone next to me, and Mark just hears me. He's like, dude, you need ice? I'm like, yeah. And Mark's like, I'll go get it. I'm like, fucking Mark. He's even better than before. And he was like in the middle of the room. And he's like, I'll go get ice. And he turns around quickly, does like a little Todd up the stairs kind of jog. He didn't realize there was a little coffee table. So he hit the coffee table and did this epic fall and then fell over another chair behind it and fell over that. And it was like the whole party stopped. A song just ended. And it was like, no lie, it was like the 3 seconds between, like, Joey went from like, and he falls, and everybody just looks. And I still remember, like, regaining and going over and over in a chair, and then you couldn't see him, and then he just pops up and he's like, I'm cool, and we're like, oh, okay, Mark. And he's like, I'll be right back. We never saw him again.
Really?
Swear to God, we were all a little concerned, and we're like, where did he go?
Because of the ice.
He never came back from the ice.
What a dick.
And he just never came back. And like 3 months later, we're going out, and it was, like, really cold, and we look down, and we see him, like, kind of on his porch, and we're like, hey, and he just darts in the house. And that was it.
All because of the fall?
I don't know. And then, like, a year or two later, my wife and I are out, and we see him at a bar, like, downtown, and I'm like, that's fun, Mark. And she's like, I think it is. And, like, as I walk up, like, I see him in the crowd, I'm like, hey, and I, like, walk up to him, and then he disappeared. Like, he did that crowd thing where he just vanished.
Wow.
But I'm convinced he might not have been with us. I think he might have been an angel for a while, just so we could all learn like what good people are and how to love and embrace good people. And then his time was done.
So you think that there's burglars that are out to kill you, and there's angels that don't come back with your ice after they fall?
Okay. I'm just saying it was probably he.
This is revealing.
It was the worst fall ever in the history of parties, and he realized that. And he did not have, like, the ability inside him to deal with that.
Wow.
Right? Let's raise a glass for Mark, everybody. Crazy Mark. Fun Mark.
Fun Mark.
Fun Mark. I'd love to see him again someday.
So this is really like an open letter to Mark.
Open letter to Mark. Before we bring up Madame Fromage, Todd, did you just go to a comedy show?
Yeah, I did, on Friday
evening. I wanted to talk to you about this, and I thought we'd just maybe chat real quickly about it.
At the Trocadero here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Michael Ian Black.
Very nice.
And the opener was our pal and former guest, Doogie Horner.
Excellent. Nice.
And it was a lovely evening of entertainment, yeah.
And it was at the Troc and...
Adaro, yeah.
Trocadero.
Yeah, my favorite Troc.
Is that a good place to see comedy?
Well, it turned out to be a good place. You know, they'll transform the space for a comedian. They put some chairs out there. It felt comedy-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, a funny bit. I mean, the stage is made for... for bands, so he did a bit where he was kind of like walking around, feeling his space, making sure he could do his act up there. Yeah, so it was a fun show, and I would highly recommend going to see him.
Oh, excellent!
If he comes to your town.
Now, were there any like people yelling out like bits from the state? You know, like trying to like see.
There were a lot of people yelling out a lot of things. Yeah,
really? But so you probably weren't. Were you a big fan of the state?
I was, but I'm not the kind of guy to yell out old things that I want someone to hear.
Too busy running up the stairs, getting a drink, and yeah.
You're no fun, Mark.
I yell other people's bits out at him. Do the dirty nursery rhymes. But yeah, lovely evening, and I would absolutely recommend seeing him.
Excellent. That was like a little super shout.
That,
right?
That
was an early shout out.
Early show shout, yeah.
Well, people, we promised you cheese, and we promised you a lot of cheesetastic fun tonight. And I think, why prolong it any more than we're prolonging it, right?
That's correct.
We're going to bring up somebody right now. But first, Russ, do we have any music that we could bring up our next guest with?
Some of you ever been up to Wisconsin? They got a lot of cheese.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a food writer, a food teacher, a blogger for the world-famous DeBruno Brothers, a columnist for Grid Magazine. She hosts tastings around the cities. Ladies and gents, the cheese maven, the cheese maniac, the dairy darling, Madame Fromage. Everybody, Madame Fromage. Matt from us, and that song was, I believe, was 40-pound block of cheese by the John Spencer Blues Explosion.
Oh my gosh!
Nice,
I'm so
right?
impressed. Yeah, that's so apropos.
You might consider that licensing that song for future shows, right?
You've changed my life.
Wow! Thank you. Because I think most cheese people would want to be associated with a 40-pound block of cheese.
Sure, for sure.
Quality.
Yeah,
quality.
And Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that was in there.
Now, you originally from?
I am. I mean, I grew up in Iowa, but I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
You can hear it a little bit in the accent. In fact, I was back there with talking to a friend from Michigan, and we're like, she sounds a little Midwestern. Do you think she's from Wisconsin?
I'm sick.
Same thing.
I'm from Gettysburg.
Nikki, you and those compliments are going to get you everywhere.
I know if I'm Mark.
Endearing yourself to half of our country.
You want to cough on our cheese plate?
I will.
I'm sick.
So you're obviously American, yet Madame Fromage.
Yes.
So right. Like Mrs. Cheese.
Correct.
Didn't have a nice ring to it, you think?
Actually, I'm also a dual citizen, so half Swiss, half American. Don't you think that's fitting? Mm-hmm. And my mother's from the French part of it's French speaking part of Switzerland.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm kind of pulling some strings
excused.
There. But yeah,
excused.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just so American, though. I just love America so much. You know, so I call them Freedom Fries. If I referred to you as Mrs. Cheese, it's because, not because I disrespect you, but because I love this great country.
And to you, I'm Ms. Cheese.
Okay, Ms. Cheese.
I would like to know your origin story, like your superhero origin, how you became.
Were you bitten by a cheese bug?
Yeah.
Was I bitten by the cheese bug? No, but I've always kind of wanted to be a drag queen, and I felt that Madame Fromage was a little bit draggy.
Yeah.
It allowed me to, you know, play with food and also explore my Wisconsin heritage, all in one little package.
Fromage is one of the best words to say, isn't it?
It is.
It's
say
fun.
It again.
Like, I know, I think my friend Daniel here couldn't pronounce it, and I was saying, Daniel, it's a fun word to pronounce. Fromage. Try it. No. We'll talk to you after the show, Dan. We got a lot of work to do with you. Madame Fromage. Wouldn't that be the worst if you were a guest and the guest is just like, so, Madame Fromage, what do you do?
Mrs. Fromage.
Mrs. Fromage.
Todd had his way.
Are you considered a cheesemonger?
No.
What is that?
Because I don't sell cheese. A cheesemonger is like a fishmonger. A fishmonger sells fish. A cheesemonger sells cheese. It's like the butcher of the cheese world.
So there's no, like, connotation with cheesemonger, meaning you're, like, there's, you know your cheese. I could just go to Wawa and be behind a cheese case and I'd be a cheesemonger?
No. Technically you would have to know something about cheese.
Oh, okay.
Is there, like, a certificate or a badge?
Yes, there actually is a certificate. Yeah. It's new. It's just came out this year.
Uh-huh. Is it made out of cheese, the certificate?
I don't think so.
It'd be delicious.
But, you know, it's worth exploring.
I actually would like to know your origin story.
Yes, we would.
Origin story?
Yeah, like how did you get into all
why cheese?
Why cheese?
Why cheese or why blog about cheese?
Both.
Oh, okay. So I grew up in a household in the Midwest with a Swiss mom, and our way of, like, enjoying a Sunday would be to go out and get a lot of stinky cheese and sit around and have a little wine and bread. Then I moved to Wisconsin and got really involved in sort of the food movement there as a journalist. Met a lot of cheesemakers, camped out and ate great cheese on Saturday mornings at the farmer's market. Then I moved to Philadelphia. This was 6 years ago. I did not know a soul. I literally got into a Volvo, crossed the country, started my life over
here. Why? Why did you pick
Philly?
For a job. Okay. You're also a teacher at a college.
I am. Yes.
Can we mention the college?
Sure.
St. Joe's University, St. Joe's Hawks. Woohoo!
I am Professor Fromage.
Yes, Professor Fromage.
So I found myself hanging around cheese counters a lot because it was a way when I felt homesick, you know, to taste a little something of home, of family. And I just met the nicest people in line, and the cheesemongers were fantastic. And I started learning so much about cheese that I decided to chronicle it online.
Awesome.
With just this funny little kind of diary. And it's turned into a little half-life.
Do you make cheese?
I do not.
No?
I make a little yogurt. I'm making some yogurt right now.
Making cheese is hard, correct?
You have to know something, yeah. There's some complexity there. We're going to eat some cheese in a minute that's like so beautiful, you'll weep. And these are like really, I think, people who are artistic and have an understanding of cheese in a way that, you know, most of us probably can't comprehend.
I envy you because when I always think about I need to change my career... And I always tell people for the last 10 years, if I could change my career, I'd like to go make cheese on a farm with nothing, no computers around, nothing. I know I'd last 5 minutes, but, you know, just nothing around. But because I watched a show once on making
like
cheese.
Like a cheese farmer. You want to be a cheese farmer.
A cheese farmer. Every morning I feed the cheese and herd the cheese.
That's beautiful.
Milk the cheese. I don't know, whatever the hell. How are you the cheese? I'd want someone to do it for me. I'd want to sit there and just kind of watch it. You know?
Wear the overalls and look the look.
Yeah, and then maybe like for the article in the paper, I'd be like stirring some pot of crap and be like, it's some pasteurizing ways. I don't know.
Do you like bacteria?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
A fan of bacteria.
And Reddit. A fan of Reddit.
Is Philadelphia a good cheese town?
I think it's a fantastic cheese town. We've got a lot of, you know, cheese shops here, and they're all pretty friendly with each other. And
DeBruno Brothers, is that the kind of mecca of cheese in Philly, or are there other?
For me, the DeBruno Brothers in the Italian market is like, I feel like it's where I got schooled in cheese. The mongers there, they have been there for years. These are people who are like, they live the cheese lifestyle.
Oh, so
lifestyle.
You know, they'll tweet me and be like, come on down right now. We have the best wheel of Bredemo we've ever had. And I'm, you know, on SEPTA, and I'm going right down there at that minute because I know they'll sell it out
3 hours later. You're there.
No, 30 minutes later. And they really court cheesemakers. Like, for years, they will court cheesemakers who make such small batch cheeses that, you know, no one else really sells them. Literally, there's a guy there who has sent cheesemakers novels, handwritten letters, chocolates in the mail saying, like, please, please let us sell your cheese.
Wow.
Wow, that's creepy.
We're going to eat one.
It's like something Todd would do.
It is. They're more like cheese stalkers than cheesemongers. Yeah, in fact, one of the cheeses we're going to try. Oh, I can't disclose that.
Todd's Google mapping every cheese.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, cheese lover to a whole new level, right?
Are some, like, artisan cheesemakers, like, not into, like, I know you want my cheese, but I'm not going to give it to you? Or they're
for sure.
Really?
They're like, I've got people right here at my farmer's market, or I have so many chefs that I'm trying to supply. Why should I send it? Why should I overnight it from California or wherever to Philadelphia? Unless you're going to send me, you know, romance novels and letters and chocolates.
Now, I want to be wooed.
With wine, you know, there's specific reasons wine is, you know, conducive to make wine in certain areas. Cheese, like, where can you make cheese in the United States?
Well, we're making it right here.
Everywhere, right?
Vermont, Wisconsin, and California are the three biggest cheese-producing states in the United States.
Are there places where you cannot make cheese, though?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm hearing about cheeses from Mississippi, cheeses in Alabama. I mean, there's great mozzarella coming out of Texas.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Well. I think you're lying right there.
I'd like to know about, like, the wild fringes of the cheese world.
That is what I brought tonight.
Okay. Wow.
So maybe that's a segue, but I'd like to know your thoughts on that crazy, like, black market cheese with the maggots in it.
Oh,
what?
That might be the one cheese I don't know if I could try. Mm.
What? Well,
because maggots?
Because I like them too much.
Because maggots.
Because maggots. That's the title of the podcast.
That's a band name or an album name.
Russ, it sounds like you know a lot about this cheese. I've only seen it on the Food Network.
Well, I heard like an NPR segment on it.
Yeah.
So apparently the deal is that, so it's kind of like, you know, from back in the days when they would eat every part of an animal or something like that. And so some of those things then became delicacies after a while. It was like cheese that just sat around for a long time, and it was typically like for poor people. It would end up having maggots and things, and they just would eat it anyway. And then when it got to the point that people didn't have to eat maggot-riddled cheese anymore, some people still longed for it. And now it's a delicacy, but it's illegal, right? So you have to... It's very hard to get. It's very expensive. It's actually illegal when people.
Why is it illegal? Because maggots are endangered.
I would imagine because it's like a
health risk.
Some sort of health risk. Yeah.
Matter from Maj, is Russ making up the story, or is this something
that for real. I've never heard about anybody importing it. I think, you know, it's like a, kind of an Italian countryside delicacy.
Like grappa or something, bottom of the barrel
Correcto.
Wine, where you just got the old party guys are like, I'll drink that shit.
Right. The closest we would have we could find would be like something coming out of a dumpster.
Oh, that sounds horrible. Russ, you've taken something so delicious.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for it. And you brought the worst part of it.
You're welcome.
Make sure that hobo spin.
Why don't we partake in some cheese? Now, did we hand out cheese to people in the audience?
We have a cheese angel in the audience who is bringing around samples of all the cheese.
Wow, cheese angel.
Tonight. Yes, for the cheese angel.
So. Somebody write a song, Cheese Angel. That'd be like a really horrible doo-wop song, right?
That
cheese
might be
angel.
Your next jingle, I think.
Yeah.
The Cheese Angel jingle. Anyway, so, you know, as you receive your cheese, consider yourself about to be initiated. These are some beautiful cheeses. I will tell you about them in a second.
And some are a little stinky, some are not.
They're not terribly stinky. But one is a little bit strong, so I'm going to
So you're going
to guide us.
From
mild
gonna,
to strong.
You're
going to
guide
yeah.
us all through? All right.
Yeah. In the spirit of cabaret, these are very theatrical cheeses. And I have my little cheese stage here. Should
well,
I
while she's
it?
Handing, while she's handing it out, so people can follow along while you're talking about them, I'm curious to know what animals can create milk that makes cheese?
Good point.
Like, obviously cow and goat.
Cow, water yeah. buffalo.
Okay.
Oh.
Keep your eyes out for water buffalo. That's the new frontier. And camel.
Camel?
Yeah. I've heard really? Some people who are making a camel cheese documentary.
Huh. You could theoretically make human cheese.
People have. They've uh-huh. even sold it in New York restaurants.
Oh, people really? Have made it?
Yes.
Human cheese.
I don't.
So, you know
so if you have wives and children at home, you just don't know what you're harboring.
The Monty Python cheese shop sketch. You know, have you seen that?
I haven't.
You're not familiar with that? All right, we're going to have to send you the link to that. But, yeah, because they mention a Venezuelan beaver cheese, and I didn't know
Ew.
That
was. Wow, you just keep taking us down that dark path.
Yeah,
dude, Russ.
Sorry.
God.
I'm curious.
Do you, what do you think of, shows, like all the shows on all the Food Network? We have Food Network, we have the Cooking Channel now. Everybody's getting the specialty zoning in on their product. You know, there's like the bacon guy and now there's a new cheese guy, I noticed. Have you seen him at all?
I have not.
I'm not
this.
His
Who
name
is this cheese guy?
I'll tell you, he's a cheesemonger. I think I wrote down his name. Not a big fan.
Monger?
I don't
think he's an Australian monger?
Guy?
He sells?
Said, yeah, his name is Jason Sobinski.
Your arch enemy.
Sobochinski on the Cooking Channel. It's called The Big Cheese.
Oh, he's my nemesis already.
Yeah, he's somebody I think we should
Let
really
me at him.
We should probably attack. Where does he live? Todd.
I'll get my cheese stalkers right on it.
Send him a novel.
But are you a fan of those cheese shows? Would you go on a competition? Would you do any of that sort of fun, you know? You know, there's competition
know.
Shows with chefs, and they're like, all these chefs are known for their seafood, all this. Like,
right.
would you do a thing where, you know, you're known, like, making dishes with cheese?
The only thing I would want to do is just do a little cheese delivery show or something like that.
Oh.
Like, I've often dreamed of having a little Vespo with, like, a little cheese rack on the back and, like,
a French bulldog
down.
In
yeah.
the basket on the front.
Making some little cheese deliveries. Like,
That'd
kind
be fun.
Of Mr. Rogers-like show of,
right.
hey,
and then every,
cheese,
yeah.
can I come in? Can I set up a little plate for you?
Cheese
but that's
wheels.
More of my style. Yeah, cheese wheels.
That's what you'd call
or
it? Cheese wheels?
Cheese on wheels. I don't know.
Cheese wheels on wheels. Like, just double up on wheels.
Some kind of terrible cheese wheel pun.
Can we eat the cheese, please?
Yeah, let's do. All right, why don't we talk about the first piece of cheese.
Okay.
What do we got
for right,
here?
All right, so I like to think of the cheese board as like a little stage. So I have a little cutting board here.
Yeah, yeah.
I can pass it down your way. So in the first sure. cheese on here, I have three cheeses, and they all have a wild story, and they're wild cheeses. The first cheese.
Let's rein in these wild cheeses.
Okay, so the first cheese, it looks a little bit like a piece of a snowball if you have it before you.
Wow.
It's a cheese that is made by a woman who is a trained classical pianist in California. And she's sort of the cheesemaker who's affiliated with Thomas Keller of the French Laundry. So the fact that we even have this cheese before us is...
It's a get.
It's pretty amazing. Like, you'll never eat this cheese again. Like, eat it with
what?
Me tonight. We'll never eat this again together.
Wow.
This cheese. Is one of the cheesemakers
cheese
been
exclusive.
Courted.
Cheese
eat
exclusive.
Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Wow, nice.
So. It sounds like a threat. You're not going to have it again because I'm going
Boy,
to kill you after
Nikki's
the show.
Nikki's inching away from that. I'll eat your cheese because
you'll never have this cheese or any cheese again.
So, her name is So-Young Scanlon, and
Thank
she
you.
Lives in Petaluma, California.
All right.
And like I said, she's a musician, a trained musician, but she's also got a degree in dairy science. And her goal is to bring out the most beautiful notes in the milk that she uses.
Is it this one?
That's what, the one. It's a triple cream brie style cheese called Largo. All of her cheeses have a musical name. So
wow.
she's got a cheese called Metronome, a cheese called Adagio. And she is so hardcore, you guys, that she has a cot in her cheese cave, and she will sleep with her cheeses so that she can feel the air on her skin. If there's something wrong with the rinds or anything like that, she can sense it with her
body. Quick question.
Body.
What's this lunatic's name again?
So-Young Scanlon.
She may be a lunatic, but that might have been the best bite of food I've ever
so,
had.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That
I
was
talking
awesome.
Google Map to her cave.
Yeah, Google Map her cave. I have to give a shout out to Hunter Fike, who's a cheesemonger at De Bruyne Brothers on 9th Street, because this, he has...
That was amazing.
This is his cheese. Like, he thinks this is the best cheese in existence.
I think he's right. Guys, what do you think?
Yeah, it's really
Nikki,
good.
Good?
I did.
Yeah, Todd.
I did like the anorexic girl bite.
That was, yeah. Is it rude to bite a lot of it all at once? I mean,
no.
Okay.
Oh, because Todd's seen me take it all in one bite.
Like, all, okay. Oh, all right. Just do it all.
Yeah, he really went in for it.
Get the mouth
like a shot, like a cheese shot.
I eat like I was. I grew up with like 8 brothers and sisters. We were just trying to like eat as fast as you can.
I was very offended.
He was offended.
He had to buff off his monocle. He was all pissed off.
All right, let's hit the next one, okay. Madam.
The next one is the cheese that looks a little bit like a cube of driftwood, and it comes with olives tonight.
This one?
Which one's yes. Driftwood?
Guys, this one?
It's a cube. I kind of cut it up in advance. All right, so this is the first imported cheese from Croatia. It is from the island of Pag, and it just started getting imported into the United States within the last year or so. Mm. It comes from an island, a really rough, like kind of rocky island, where there are more sheep than Delicious. People.
What?
The island of Pag is only known for this cheese and the lace work that the women on this island make. So the top of the label of this cheese, actually it looks like a little doily. It's called Pasky Sir.
It was delicious.
It's a sheep's milk cheese. So and
good. I'm only going to take a little bite. I don't want to offend Tom.
Which is the most binding of the three that we'll be eating?
You're eating it right now.
Yeah, one,
it's a
binding.
Compact sheep's milk cheese.
I asked
cheese.
For Nikki.
That's why I only gave you a very little piece. You'll find a Pepto-Bismol underneath your cookie.
Not Thank good. God.
Madam, I was saying before the show that I've never had cheese that I don't like. I love cheese so much.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Even Kraft Singles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll eat it. I'll eat.
What's the worst cheese? What's the worst kind of cheese?
That.
Yeah, I don't know, say. That.
Like, what about government cheese? Like, that giant...
When it comes
you know?
Out of a can?
What's the worst kind of cheese?
Maggot cheese?
I want to know the scale. So this
maggot
is the top.
Cheese might be up there.
You're saying cheese from a can isn't the best cheese?
There is actually one cheese that comes out of a can called Cougar Gold that I have heard is really good, and yeah. I can't wait to get it.
Like an aerosol can?
No, it's actually a can that has like the kind of key.
Oh, right, right.
It's cheese designed for yeah. bomb shelters. It's
yeah, yeah. It's like K rations.
Cheese would just be considered aerosol. Would it?
What kind of what makes the cheese come out of the
I don't know.
Easy
I don't,
cheese?
Maybe I'm wrong, but aerosol to me that's like a cheese mist.
The cheese hairnet.
I don't eat it because of the damage that it can do to the ozone layer. Yeah. Now that I know that it's safe.
A lot of CFC. In
oh,
this.
Okay.
Can we move on to the blue?
Let's move on to the blue. Okay, the blue is kind of hiding under or inside or on top of an apricot.
Oh.
If you can find it.
Oh, that's an apricot.
So, yeah.
I thought that apricot. Was like a cool cheese.
So here's the story behind this cheese. This is right now the reigning cheese of the United States. There was just a cheese pageant.
Ooh.
The American Cheese Society every year holds a big convention. This year, 1,700 cheeses were entered from around the United States.
My
and
God.
This won number one in the country. This is a huge deal
what
for
was
the
its talent?
Maker. Gorgeousness.
Gorgeous.
So
right?
It's Rogue River Blue. Whoa. It's from the state of Oregon.
I can't wait.
And it's wrapped in leaves, grape leaves, that have been soaked in pear brandy.
Wow.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's sweet, it's sharp, but it has a sort of underlying, I think, kind of licorice pear flavor that's just
it's
glorious.
Hot shit.
It's hot shit.
It is. I'm just trying to add some class to the podcast. This is hot shit, everyone.
That was wow. Each one's better than the next.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. That was it's really so good. Come on, people. Let's give it up for this cheese. Hey, guys, just a quick question. What other podcasts give you guys cheese? That's all I'm asking. No, okay.
Needy.
Needy.
Reaching.
Now, what is this cheese that looks like a sweet little olive?
That would be an olive.
An olive.
Hey, what are some of the best things to eat along with cheeses?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And what are some of the the misconceptions of things people think they should eat with cheese, but you would say no?
Oh, good question.
You're ruining your palate with that.
Good question.
Okay, so good things along cheese. Well, if it's a salty cheese, you want to kind of counterbalance it with something sweet. So that's why, I put an apricot on the plate tonight, because some of these cheeses, especially the sheep's milk cheese, is a little bit salty. So I think dried fruit, olives, cured meats, all good stuff. Honey, I love nothing more than sticking a wedge of honeycomb next to a hunk of blue cheese and then just kind of doing the scoop.
I didn't hear you say grape. Is grape okay?
Grapes?
Is grape like a piker move, though? Like everybody expects grapes next to
Everyone cheese. Expects grapes.
But it's okay?
Yeah.
You're really worried about that,
chutneys.
Like your image.
Chutneys and cheddar.
Chutneys,
great.
Huh?
I love dried cherries with that first cheese we had. dried cherries or a little cherry compote, figs. Figs are great with cheese.
Beer?
Beer is fantastic. Yeah. And I'd say if there's one misconception, it's that wine and cheese are the perfect pairing. I think almost beer and cheese are the better pairing, or the easier pairing for the novice. And then I think sometimes cocktails and cheese can work.
Mm. I like that.
Like that middle cheese, that hard cheese, kind of pecorino-like. It's great with martini.
Mm, really?
Mm-hmm. Some of those Alpine cheeses, eat them with a Manhattan. Unbelievable.
These fancy, fancy cheeses. Would it be...
I don't think they're fancy. I think they're just beautifully crafted. Like
these, I'm just saying these cheeses that deserve a lot of credit. Okay. Would it be...
They deserve like little
sacrilegious
podiums.
To like put them on a burger?
Yes.
Oh. Or...
Well...
I mean, like, it's how good is that burger? It's a really fancy burger. Though, like a very fancy... Or very fancy lasagna. would that make the fanciest lasagna?
That'd be the most colossal waste of...
That would be
a tragedy.
But if you just made like a little 2-inch by 2-inch like stack lasagna, or that would be very respectful.
Designer macaroni and cheese.
Fancy. I like that.
That'd be respectful.
Are we getting warmer? Are we getting warmer?
He uses fancy. Like, he's going to go to a restaurant like, let's go get something fancy today.
Oh, Todd just wants you to validate.
I know.
Todd's like, are grapes okay? Can I make shitty food with this cheese? Is that okay?
Can I put it on chili?
Will I still be cool?
Tell me about the skin. Can you eat that the skin that you often put on cheese? The rind?
Pretty much. If it looks appetizing, yeah. Eat it.
Oh, yeah. You just eat the whole thing.
Unless it's wax.
How about the label?
It's wax sometimes.
If it's wax, you know, you cut off the wax.
But it's not going to hurt you.
No, it's food grade wax.
We're gonna take a break in a second, but I want to end this segment with just one question. We're going to take a break so we can all get some more drinks and cheese up some more. What in ranking of countries, like who's the best in cheese?
Oh, France.
France is not even close.
But I think America is.
We have a French guy here.
Very well.
Oui, Phil. Congratulations, Phil. Why don't you get on the phone and congratulate your country? They won. You're right. You guys, congrats.
He has France on speed dial.
France, get this. We did it.
France.
All right. So France is by far the winner. Like, who else is inching up towards there?
Switzerland. England.
Yeah. England.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Stilton.
Stilton. I like Stilton a lot.
Stilton. British cloth-bound cheddar. Wow.
Do they eat it with bread?
Lancashire.
It just seems like that's when I think of British cuisine, and the only thing that comes to mind is bread.
Yeah. Just bread.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thanks for bread.
The cheese is probably the best thing about that cuisine.
Right. Definitely.
How are we doing in America?
Actually, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we've never had such good cheeses coming out of this country. There's more cheesemakers now than any time in the United States.
It's kind of like soccer.
It
you know,
is.
We're getting better at it. If you could just marry the two together.
Our population is also growing, though. So
that's true.
So I wonder what the percentage of cheesemakers in America is.
Well, you know, I would say like 10 or 20 years ago, you had a handful of licensed small dairies.
Okay.
And now you've got, in every state, really respectable small dairies. That, you know, people from abroad come to this country and go, wow, I mean... A lot of folks from here will go to, say, France and learn how to make cheese and then come back here and adapt it, you know, to their herds and things like that. But, yeah, it's a real renaissance happening.
Madam, when we come back, we're going to hit the controversial topic of raw milk cheese versus pasteurized cheese. That's right, people. That's a teaser.
Oh, man.
You've already eaten some raw milk cheese. You just don't know it.
What?
Yep.
All right, we're going to play a song. While everybody get a drink, we're going to listen to a little Rob Crow. I have a mouthful of cheese. We'll be right back, people. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. Right now?
Yeah, we're back.
Hey, everybody. Everybody enjoying some cheese?
Woo!
Madame Fromage. And you can check out Madame Fromage. If you just type in Madame Fromage at Google, you can get it that way. If you type in, I believe, MadameFromage.com, right? That'll get you there. What? What are you talking about? Who is she?
Are you not coming back up, or are you just hanging out over there?
Yeah, get up here. Bring cheese. Yeah, if anybody wants some more cheese, we can cut up some or do some.
And there's some more little samples.
Oh, yeah, there's more samples. Don't feel bad about getting up and, like, sneaking over. But you got to sneak like a burglar. There you go.
Brad, you totally want some. I saw that.
You're a big guy, Brad. You need a lot of cheese. Todd will be back soon, Madame Fromage. But I want to bring up this topic, and I know some of our guests were inquiring about it. Mm-hmm. It's the raw milk versus the pasteurized cheese. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, so if you go to France and you eat a fantastic brie and then you come back to the United States and look for it, you will never find the same thing, because in France it's legal to serve young raw milk cheese, and in this country it's not. So you've had raw milk cheese tonight. It was the blue. It's a raw milk blue. And the deal is the FDA allows cheesemakers to sell raw milk cheese, but it has to be aged for 60 days or more.
Okay. So that's draconian.
That's draconian. Yes, many people would agree. So, yeah, you can eat a raw oyster. You can smoke a cigarette. All of these things are legal, but you cannot eat a young raw milk cheese. So that limits what cheesemakers can make, because, say, a brie style or ricotta, things that are fresh like that, cannot be sold in raw milk form.
Hmm. So the difference is, and then the opposite of raw milk cheese, I guess, pasteurized?
It's pasteurized. And what a cheesemaker might tell you is that trying to use pasteurized milk to make cheese is like using hard-boiled eggs to bake a cake. That's what the guy from Rogue River has been quoted as saying.
Really?
Because, yeah, you're basically cooking the milk. You know, you're heating it at a high temperature. You're killing enzymes and what some people say valuable bacteria and even flavor. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little harder to work with. A really skilled cheesemaker can make beautiful pasteurized cheese. Interestingly enough, that first cheese we had from Soyoung Scanlon is a pasteurized cheese, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, she sleeps with her cheese. So, you know, she has that sort of intimacy and understanding of the artistry. It's pretty difficult to make a beautiful pasteurized cheese. Everything over in, you know, your grocery cold case is pretty much going to be a commodity pasteurized cheese. Mm. And only, you know, small-time cheesemakers or people who are artisanal cheesemakers are making the raw milk stuff.
Are there possibilities, or have there been horror stories about people getting sick from raw milk cheeses?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. But I question some of those. I'll just be totally honest.
You're like, someone said, I lost a good friend to raw milk cheese. And you're like, no, you didn't. You are a lying
Here's
bastard.
The thing. You know, if
they're just looking for attention.
If you're a farmer and you sell someone bad raw milk, you're done.
Oh.
You will lose your farm. You will never be able to sell milk again. So why would you ever take that chance?
Yeah.
So I feel like raw milk cheesemakers that I've visited, they are under so much scrutiny and they go through so much testing of their milk.
Because people are probably want, like, they know people are after them, right? Not after them, but
well,
would love to.
They're also drinking this milk and they're serving this milk to their children. So they're going to be extremely careful.
Hey, Todd's coming back, guys.
Interestingly, the pizza.
Come on up, Todd.
The pizza parlor that I worked for when I was in high school did not have the same issue with. You would think that if you would sell slices of pizza to people that had light bulb shards in the sauce, that you would lose your pizza
license,
shop.
Right.
That didn't seem to deter him
right.
from doing that.
Well, no.
Do you
want
to hear the story?
So yeah.
Maybe I should elaborate.
You might want to when you mention shards of glass.
So in the walk-in freezer, there was like racks where we would store the trays for dough. And this, again, like Long Island, you know, small town, he paid off the health inspectors routinely, had like, you
just
know.
Just sounds like a horrible place with your playgrounds and your pizza parlors.
Well, I told you, the place that I worked was, it ended up being a front for a drug organization and all this kind of stuff that I didn't really, I kind of could have put the pieces together, but I didn't at 15 years old.
Did he tell us that? I don't
remember. Yeah.
But anyway, so he paid off the health inspectors, so there were certain things that they would come and cite him on every time. Like, for instance, in the walk-in freezer, there was just a light bulb by itself, like with no cage around it, and they would say you have to put a cage around that, but he would always kind of get around it. And the one time he was yelling at me to bring dough up there, and I quickly like grabbed a tray and just pulled it out off the top, and it shattered the light bulb in the in the whole walk-in freezer, and so shards of light bulb were in the cheese, in the open vat of sauce, and all this other kind of stuff. So I went up front and I was like, "Hey, what am I supposed to do? The light bulb just shattered." And he was like, "Just pick out what you can see and bring it up here."
He's frugal.
Holy crow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I remember telling my mom that story not that long afterwards, and she was like, "Oh my God, are you kidding me? Like what that could do to people's stomachs if you didn't get it all?" Yeah. You hear the silence? I know. Yeah.
Madame Fromage, would you rather take a chance on raw milk cheese or light bulb pizza?
Raw milk cheese.
Raw milk cheese.
Light bulb crunch.
Light bulb crunch. Now, you mentioned a very two-word phrase that made me very happy. Cheese cave. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Cheese cave? I talk cheese caves. Like, what is a cheese cave?
It's a temperature and humidity controlled room where people age cheese.
Like, are true cheese cases, like, I just picture in France, like, side of a hill, like
oh
a
my
real
gosh.
Cave.
Yeah,
right?
They're like,
it's been around
caves.
For like thousands of years.
But some
right?
of them are just, it's a word for warehouse.
Oh, okay.
I mean, a cheese cave can look like anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be built into the side of a cliff.
But if you'd really want to, though. I mean, you'd really want it to make it look like
you
a cave.
And
if
you and I do want it
yeah.
to really look like a cave because we live in the fantasy, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if you called something a cheese cave, you're setting the expectations mm-hmm. for, like, you have to move a boulder aside to get into
right.
that, right? Even if it's
you
a...
You pull a certain book.
Wait, what's
book.
The one? Is it Roquefort that, like, has to come
right.
from that one specific...
Has to come from this specific area, these specific caves, the Roquefort caves.
And is that a real cave?
Honest to God cave.
That's a real cave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like you spelunk in it? Or...
I think so.
Wow.
So to make cheese, it has to be like cool and damp? Is
mm-hmm.
that's, so
mm-hmm.
there are no cheese towers?
I don't think so.
Wow.
What?
I'm just saying, like, so they're usually basements. These things have to be like surrounded by earth and low and damp.
I've heard of people in Brooklyn making cheese caves out of storage lockers.
Oof.
You know, putting in like a little fountain.
Oh, like ones
you know,
that you would
humidifier.
Rent?
Humidifier. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, well.
Right? Doesn't that seem kind of gross?
Locker cheese?
Locker cheese.
You know, it's
that doesn't sound so
yeah,
gross.
Like locker cheese has a whole different connotation to it. I would not eat anything called locker cheese.
Madame Fromage, give me your top 5 favorite cheeses right now.
Right now.
Yeah, I know
okay.
it probably changes a lot, correct?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I love a cheese called Red Hawk that comes out of California.
Okay.
I love it with a chocolate stout because this is a really gooey,
ooh.
Stinky cheese. It's a little bit peanutty. Mm. And with a chocolate stout, it tastes like a Snickers bar.
Wow.
Okay, Red Hawk. That's number one favorite.
Red Hawk.
After that, it's a cheese called Hooligan that comes out of Connecticut.
Wow.
Also round and stinky. I love washed rind cheeses, cheeses that are washed in beers and spirits and things
like
that.
Describe wash rind. Like, what's the process? What do you mean, like?
So you take a wheel of cheese,
mm-hmm.
and you are literally washing it with either, sometimes it's a brine solution, or it could be whiskey, or it could be beer. And so you're imbuing the flavor of the cheese
okay.
with a spirit, or
wow.
with a wash of some kind.
And it's, you literally, like, with your hand, you're doing this, there's no, like, mechanized, like, way.
Oh, some, if it's
yeah.
a big factory, sure, it'd be mechanized.
Yeah.
But otherwise, people do it by hand, they'll use a paintbrush or something like that.
Wow. All right, so that was number
okay,
two.
Okay, that's number
two.
Locally, I love a blue cheese called Bertrand Blue, okay, which is from Chester County. It's a washed rind blue cheese in the Stilton style.
Ooh.
Gorgeous.
Nice.
Number four. Now, this is where it gets a little bit hectic, schmectic.
A lot of cheeses vying for these 4 and 5 stocks.
I'm actually drawing a blank, but I'm thinking, what do I love to eat? Okay, number four would have to be Roquefort, because I love blue cheese, and I love just the gooey, mineral-like quality in a really good Roquefort, where, you know, the flavor is in your mouth for, like, almost a full minute. It's so intense. A little Sauternes and Roquefort, you know, that is the last thing I want in my mouth before I die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deathbed cheese.
Deathbed cheese.
Everybody has. I mean, you thought about it, right?
Yeah.
At least once or twice in your life, like you're like, I'd want my loved ones around. Probably make a sip of something delicious and my deathbed cheese, and it's just like right next to you there. Your family administering it to you through a tube.
They call for the priest and the deathbed cheese. Get the priest.
It'd be funny if they're like, get the priest, and the priest is in the corner, just like, eating cheese.
Like, this is delicious.
I put it on a burger, like Todd said. Oh, Father Mulcahy, come back. We need you.
Priests don't eat burgers.
Priests don't eat burgers.
Can you get all these cheeses locally?
Yes, okay. You can. And then one last cheese, right?
Yeah, one last cheese.
I feel the clock ticking.
No.
The last cheese would be a Wisconsin cheese, and it's won a gazillion awards, and it's made by this just dedicated cheesemaker called Mike Gingrich, and it's called Pleasant Ridge Reserve. This is a guy who has literally bred cows and raised very specific grasses to produce this particular kind of cheese. Ask any cheesemonger that you meet, what is the best cheese in the United States?
Really?
But what is their favorite cheese? What is the one cheese they would want to serve all of the United States? And they would say Pleasant Ridge Reserve.
Hmm. Well, I'm writing this down.
What are your feelings on Cabot cheese?
Oh, I love Cabot. That was the other one in the back of my mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could just go on and on for all kinds of favorites. Yeah.
See, now
Cabot
I feel better.
So that's not like too industrialized.
But you know what? Cabot cloth-bound cheddar is the only one.
Right now, I like Cabot cheddar.
I mean, they make a lot
cheddar.
Of various grades of cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have like all the like the flavored cheeses.
I don't want it in red wax.
That seems like a flavored cigar or something,
yeah.
Right? Like
no flavorings. Yeah. And except there are a few exceptions.
Yeah.
What's if I wanted to wow someone with some cheddar?
Oh, Cabot's cloth-bound cheddar is great.
Cabot cloth-bound, okay.
I wonder, Beecher?
Is there a real? There's a wow factor to it, though, right? Okay,
I just want
to
wow them. My neighbors, I have wowed many a time when they come over and say, "What's the cheese I should get for tonight?" I'm having some people over, and I just say, cheddar? Cabot cloth-bound cheddar.
What do you do with all the old cloths?
They actually are kind of broken down by cheese mites.
I can make a shirt.
Whoa,
cheese mites?
I knew that was going to just rile you.
What are that? What are those?
Well, we talked about maggots earlier.
Yeah.
These are like
they're little buddies?
Almost microscopic maggots.
Microscopic
they're
cheese
mites.
Maggots.
Wait, so they're in cheese that you eat?
Well, they
did you feed us microscopic cheese maggots?
Well, most cheese caves have little bitty mites, and they especially like, for some reason, cloth-bound cheeses.
Look at Russ's.
Wait. We said that you can't eat cheeses with maggots. So they clean the maggots off?
Maggots.
The mites, they clean the mites off?
Sure.
Okay, so they're not in there when we're eating cheese.
No. But occasionally if you get a
I'm
cheese,
a little disappointed,
it's got like a little bit of like gray dust on the top, and if you look really close and you see that gray dust
Nikki's
moving,
back.
It
That's
be.
Okay. No, really? I gave you the wrong time. I'm sorry.
Local cheese mite returns.
So, Nikki, you came in on a good topic. We were discussing that when you have cloth-bound cheeses, I know you like cheeses that are covered in cloths. Some of them were attacked by mites, correct? I was only partially listening.
Colonized
by mites. But mites are so teeny tiny. There's nothing that we'd be
cheese mites.
In addition to Cabot, though, can you tell us other ones that that are like a really good bargain? You know, so
oh,
if you
bargain.
Go, well,
yeah, like if
I mean,
we didn't have to go to a like
yeah,
a specialty
are there ones that are like
store?
Mass produced and you can get in the store where he's like, oh yeah, you know, Polio string cheese is pretty good. Or like are there
cow?
Any like laughing cow individually wrapped little cheese cubes? You get a lot of bang for your buck there, or there are none. That's
I would say, you know, Wegmans sells a lot of Car Valley cheese, which comes out of Wisconsin, and they tend to be more mid-range priced cheeses. They do a really beautiful Gruyere. So, you know, you're moving up in terms of, like, industrialization. These are no longer, like, handmade cheeses like some of the things we ate. But I think those are beautiful cheeses. You know, you can get good cheese at the grocery. Can you get great cheese at the grocery? Well, it depends what kind of grocery that is.
Here's a good question. According to me. You know how like with like beer or wine, there's always like, you know, there's $1,000 bottle of wine that, you know, you drink on your deathbed or whatever. There's this beer that is a small – you missed our deathbed talk, Nikki.
Oh,
there's
sorry.
A small batch of this beer that's made that's, you know – we had. Remember once I brought that stupid like Sam Adams carafe.
Yeah, what was the name of that? In that copper.
There's a the copper Sam Adams of millennial beer. What's it called?
No, not triple buck. It was like it was. No.
Yeah, it was like a name
it was
like that.
Ultimatum
my
or
brother
something.
Gave my brother's. Yeah, it was.
it actually was something like that.
My brother like gives extravagant dumb gifts, and he gave me like he's like, dude, $150 bottle of beer goodness for you from me. Like, that's kind of how he acts.
Sam Adams ultimatum.
Right. It was like Sam Adams ultimatum, and it was like in a, like a copper carafe, whatever. And he tasted it, and it was like it tasted like a liqueur, and it was very good, but it wasn't.
It was like
beer.
A brandy wine or whatever you call those things.
So what I'm getting at is like, what
barley wine?
Are there cheeses that are like, wow? If I had $1,000, I'd buy a wheel of that. You know, like what is like a real?
Sure.
top of the line cheese that cheese nerds would just nerd out over.
Well, there is a cheese. There's several cheeses that cheese nerds really nerd out over, and sometimes there's seasonal cheeses, like they're only made at a certain time of year, and maybe, you know, only 300 wheels are produced or something like that. One of those cheeses is called Winnemere, which comes out of Vermont, and it's a washed rind cheese, one of my favorite kinds, and it's wrapped in bark. And it is...
That sounds silly.
It is... It's, it's a pretty wild cheese.
Yeah.
And everyone who knows cheese wants Winnemere.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Do you so have...
Sounds like a present from like an 8-year-old. Oh, look! Cheese wrapped in bark. Thank you.
And I glued M&M's on the outside. That's awesome. Do you have a stash of, like, you know, like a wine cellar for, like, cheeses that you'll be like, you know, you'll bust out just to wow some cheese friends?
You can't keep some of these cheeses around all that long.
I didn't know that. No.
But I'll call and I'll look for specific cheeses if someone special is coming over.
See, that's going to be so fun about, you know, this part of your life where you're the, like, anything that you're so into, you know, like hobby wise or you do for a living, that the excitement is always there of a new thing coming. Like, you're always like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, tomorrow I might get that phone call that such and such is available. Right. You know what I mean? For, like, tech nerds, it's like there's a new app or there's a new iOS or whatever.
Right.
But something like this, I find, you know, it's the little joys in life that are really great, you know, if you're into a hobby like that. And I find that
It was Sam Adams' Utopias.
Sam Adams' Utopias.
Ultimatum is so much better.
It is. Know, it is.
Like, you know, if you buy that, I'm leaving you. That's the ultimatum.
So speaking of this,
if you spend that money on beer.
I can only imagine that it's still there. The liquor store that's near you guys in Ardmore, they had a scotch in there that was a 1943 Macallan that was like... I think it was like $35,000 or something for that one bottle of scotch.
I would love if someone stole it. Like, if someone just went in there to, like, rob a liquor store, but they just wanted to steal that bottle. Yeah. It'd be so funny, because then that liquor store would be like, well, there goes our cool thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, because that's what I kept thinking. I was like, you know, so they had it in this really elaborate case.
That's so,
like,
dumb.
Who walks in and is like, I'll take that.
Yeah. You know, it's by, like, the register for the impulse buy.
It's, like, it's right next to a display of, like, Captain Morgan humping a lady's leg, you
it's
know?
It's like when you're in, like what is it, Walgreens, and you have to get somebody to unlock the razors for you. Like, can somebody come over and unlock this case? Yeah, with the $35,000 Macallan? Yeah.
Yeah, like,
and
if
then
you're
some razors
at, like, DeBruno Brothers, and, like, are there specialty little, like, pedestals that have, like, you know, like the super cheeses, like super French, yeah.
But, you know, they usually sell kind of fast, so that's what I mean. That
well, like, nothing.
They'll be like, come down here today. We have this, but we won't have it tomorrow.
Here's an angle. You maybe you've done this, and be honest. And if not, consider.
I don't like where this is being going.
having the reputation that you have with cheeses. You could have people over, serve them a super cheap, terrible cheese, talk it all up, and then just listen to them be like, oh, this is amazing. This is so, oh, my God, yeah, this is so great. And then you could just kind of have, like, either, you know, a yuck with you and maybe another cheese connoisseur. Like,
and then, like, Ashton Kutcher jumps out, you're so pumped.
Like, have you ever done that? Have you ever fooled someone into thinking that cheese was way better than it was? I mean, but you could.
Sure, I suppose so.
But really, you use your power for good. Yeah.
Todd, succinctly, Todd's like, are you into, like, pulling dick moves?
I mean, like, maybe what you ate tonight was nothing what? That I said it was.
I wonder. You know, I feel like we should have had our guard up.
This was the maggot cheese.
Well, you've seen that they've done that before, where they've done, like, you know, people who are, like, wine connoisseurs, they'll you know, put a red and a white, you know, in
I know the cups, difference.
And they think that they can, but they actually can't. Or, like, people who think that they can tell the difference between
vodkas.
And the big thing with vodka is really the main difference is the packaging. Like, it's not that much
really
of a taste.
Folgers crystals.
That's
Folgers,
right.
Yeah. Exactly. Best part of waking
so
up.
Never, you've never done that?
No. Nope.
Seriously?
No.
I hope you never do.
Not everybody's like us. Some people are actually really nice.
So you're saying, what I'm getting from Adam Fromage is,
a cheesecaper.
You're a sincerely nice person who cares about her friends and the product she endorses.
I'm from the Midwest.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's totally different. We need to toughen you up. You need to pull cheese pranks, like Todd is saying. That's so you kind of did a career change, right? Is that?
I guess I did.
Right?
I used to work as a journalist. Now I'm an English professor by day.
Yeah. So you guys, and Nikki, you're still young. We're not. And I mentioned before, like, if I ever wanted to just change careers, I will do that if I somehow. But Todd, if you just had to say, I'm done teaching, I'm done, I don't like kids anymore, I just want to do this. See you, Heather. I'll be back soon. What would you do?
So I wouldn't. So I would be leaving my profession and also my family?
No, I'm a
sailor, I guess.
Merchant Marine.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you keep. All right, how about this? No job, keep Heather and the kiddies. And think about that, Russ, also the same thing. You get out of whatever you do.
Yeah.
What, you know,
I don't know that I have an answer.
I'd like to own a tattoo parlor.
Would you?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You would own a tattoo parlor.
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you, would that also, remember on our show with Maggie Sirota?
Yes.
She, what did she do at the parlor?
She, when she was a teenager, you'll remember,
right.
On the boardwalk, she was in charge of putting temporary tattoos on,
right,
on Italians.
Right, I'm just saying, on Italians.
On boardwalk Italians, yes.
Boardwalk Italians. She would have to shave them down before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Part
no,
of
I'd have a shaver.
You'd have a shaver.
No,
I was getting
yeah,
a part
I mean,
of
this
your...
is a legit place I'm talking. I'm not going to talk about just me there doing everything, shaving the people and doing the tattoos and the design work. No, I'm going to have a shaver.
Okay, you're going to have a shaver.
Who's your otherwise, shaver? I'm not leaving teaching.
Okay. So you'd only leave teaching.
How about you? You got. It sounds like you have the fact
no,
that you asked this question.
I'm going to be working with Madam. I'm going to be on the farm with the cheese.
Just
cheese
there.
Farmer, yeah.
Just hanging out. I'm really not going to do a lot of work, to be quite honest with you. I'm just going to kind of wear cheese outfits. And
what do you say, Russ?
Nothing. But don't you dream
you
about
you want to be my shaver?
I don't like work too much at all. So
yeah, I know, but like,
else?
On like your worst day of work, like 9 hours staring at wireframes, and you're just like, God, if I could just, you know, bass player for...
You know, well, yeah, I mean, the music thing is an obvious one, but that's kind of an obvious answer. I think, actually, I would love to do... like make like craftsman furniture or something like
wow.
that.
Like, whoa!
Like a
Jesus.
Furniture maker, just
yeah.
like Jesus.
Like Jesus. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow. That's what I'd like to do.
Very nice, Nikki.
I still have my dreams left. Remember?
Are you saying you're young enough to embrace your hopes?
If you woke
and
up one day and left being a college student behind you,
if you woke up one day and
you
weren't in the midst of a wonderful youth where you're enjoying life, what would you do? I'd be an angry old guy talking in front of a microphone.
I would be an angry old guy.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
Awesome. Well, that didn't really go expected, that conversation.
Did you really think that we were all going to like indulge you in our deepest hopes
no,
and
I
dreams?
Just always, I always figure everybody has that. Maybe I watch too much TV or movies where everybody's just like, well, it kind of gets to a point where a story about people... You always read in the paper, like, new restaurant opened up in town, and it's two stockbrokers who decided they're done with their careers, and they're going to follow their dreams.
That's because everybody's protesting against them, probably.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel like the punchline to that is always that they went and they tried, like, a goat cheese farm. Like, I feel like I've – you know, but seriously, right? I mean, I feel like I've heard that story so many times. Like, a bunch of yuppies get fed up, and they go and create a goat cheese farm somewhere.
And then the goats revolt. And
well,
it's just...
the thing is, I can't imagine that all of them are being successful.
What do we do with these goats?
They eventually, like, all right, well, that didn't work, and then they're back doing whatever they did. Before.
Yeah, you're fine. This is really depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't follow your dreams, everyone.
I'm sorry. It was supposed to be uplifting because Madame Fromage had a bit of a career change, turned it into something wonderful where she brings us cheese and teaches people about cheese. How great is that? And I was hoping your stories would be just as uplifting. But Nikki, of course, made a joke. Todd, yours was kind of okay, but it was kind of a little, you know, unseemly, the business you'd go into. Shaving hairy people and then...
No, he's going to have a shaver. He's got a shaving guy already.
And Todd, your Jesus complex, always trying to one-up him.
If you don't like Jesus, that's your problem, Jeff.
He's trying to one-up.
That's what I just figured out. We're winding up our show right now. This is a part of the show we like to call shout-outs. This is uplifting, Nikki. It's not
true.
A downer, okay?
That's
this
true.
Is where we all mention something we love, something we're into, something that we're, you know, enjoy. So why don't we go with Todd, you first.
The missus and I have begun to watch, quite by accident, a Netflix series on television.
Wow.
It's a TV series.
Yeah,
we're watching it on Netflix.
We're following
and it's
you.
called Benson Interrupts. Is it called Benson Interruption or Benson Interruption?
Benson?
It's Doug Benson sits on stage with his comedian friends. The comedians come up and begin to do their act, and he just interrupts.
Awesome.
And it's brilliant. It's
really?
Real. It's a ton of fun.
It's on Netflix?
The comedians that he has on are funny to begin with, and he's brilliant. I mean, he's like he's just such a quick thinker.
Yep.
And but yet he and I don't think it's an act, but you know he's so glossy.
Major stoner.
Yeah, he's so glossy eyed and seems so out of it. But like, man, what he says is boom right there and hysterical and short and to the point and funny. And you think like, holy shit, that guy.
Yeah, if he has a very popular podcast, Doug Love Movie. Yeah. Doug Love Movies.
Well, watch that show. It's really good. Great. Yeah.
And yeah, and he is a major stoner. He's probably stoned the whole time, but he's one of the few
brilliant
who can, you know.
It makes you wonder, if this guy didn't get so stoned, what would he be able to accomplish?
A complete bore.
Because I don't know, but he's so sharp and so funny. Yeah, and the people that he has on are the right comedians that you want to see too. So
awesome.
Yeah, check it out.
Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, shouts.
Well. Not to be a kiss ass, but and I am a kiss ass. My husband and I, we live in Center City, and there's a DeBruno Brothers there. And this is not going to impress you at all, by the way. You're probably going to be really bummed out. We really, really like their cucumbers there. They're probably the best cucumbers that I've ever tasted in my life. They're crunchy, they're fresh. I can't say enough good. There's a stark difference between their cucumbers versus any other cucumber.
Slow clap. Slow
I don't
clap
know why you
cucumbers.
Guys are laughing because awesome. This is really serious shit. I love their cucumbers. And the other thing, since that one was kind of like lame but really awesome also, my husband CJ is an artist and he's really, really talented. And he's an MFA student at PAFA. He has a website. It's not really updated right now, but he's going to update it at some point. But it's cjstahl.net.
Just spell Stahl?
It's S-T-A-H-L. It actually took me a second to think of how to spell his
name. Yeah, tell your husband. Cool.
Yeah, I know. But he does some really cool paintings.
Excellent.
That are really impressive.
You didn't take... nor memorize his last name.
I didn't take his last name.
I don't like your last name. I'm not going to take it.
I just kind of sounded out.
And I'm barely going to remember it.
You think I think. You're your own woman.
Yeah. I guess that's
how
you
I'm not going to learn his last name.
So cucumbers and cjstahl.net, those are the two things that I'm really, really into right now.
They're two great things, Nikki. Thank you very much.
I think so, too. I feel really good about this endorsement. Your website's going to get like a million hits, CJ.
So I know
Wait.
I'm going to take...
Yeah, you better update it with the next 3 days,
yeah,
CJ.
Yeah, you better.
I know I'm going to take some heat for this, but that's okay. So I'm kind of fascinated by like this recent influx of these insane box sets that people are putting out.
Yes.
So have you seen like The Who has a couple, Pink Floyd has a couple? Like it's basically like these last-ditch efforts to sell everything one last time with all these B-sides. And it's like, you know, some of the sets are like $300-$400. They're crazy.
Oh, it's infuriating.
Yeah, so I'm kind of fascinated by them in a weird way. But also, U2 just re-released Octung Baby because it's 20 years old. And it has all these discs and things on it. But as that happened, a bunch of artists kind of, and this has happened a few times lately, where a bunch of other artists like cover the whole album and then release it like through a magazine. So all these other artists covered the Octung Baby album start to finish, and it was released as a giveaway through Q magazine, mm-hmm. and now it's available on iTunes. And actually, so I stumbled upon it. It actually is really fantastic. It's like Snow Patrol and The Killers and Nine Inch Nails and Garbage and like some people we haven't heard from for a while. Are you done? Jeez.
We're losing some audience members.
My wife just got ejected because she's having too much fun at the podcast.
Too much fun.
But anyway, so that disc is a charity-only release, so like the money goes to a good cause.
It's U2? No.
Well, no, it's not U2. It's people reimagining the album. And actually, the thing that I found interesting was...
I don't like the word reimagining, first of all.
Well,
let's
yeah.
just call it frigging covers.
Yeah, well,
reimagining.
Yeah, okay.
I picture them laying on a couch with, like, birds and, like, you know, feathers and just like... Oh,
all right, fine. So,
I'm imagining
so it's
this
that
song
album.
As sucking a little less than it originally did.
I did predict this, by the way.
I haven't listened to it, but I'm sure it's easily the best version of Octung Baby.
Yeah, so keep it coming.
But Octung Baby is the soundtrack of your aunt having a wine cooler.
Okay, but let me finish. So one thing that I kind of had forgotten was that the lyrical content is actually pretty, it's really strong, and I think when you hear it through other people interpreting it where they don't have all the baggage that U2 has, it actually was pretty eye-opening. So
$400?
It's $8.
$8.
So
it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
For reimagining.
Thanks for making that really easy on me, guys. Thanks.
I reimagined John Lennon's song.
Oh, his song cover.
I'll give a couple shouts, then we'll end the show with Madam Shouts. That might be another good name for you, Madam Shouts.
Madam Shouts.
Yes, wouldn't that be nice? Two quick ones. Two podcasts I like. three non-joggers. It's about three really funny guys. They're runners. And if you're a runner, you mostly hate other runners. Runners are annoying. They're self-involved, and they love just talking about running. These guys are hardcore distance runners, and they're very funny. One guy's a stand-up comedian, and they just kind of shoot the shit. They talk about running. They give really good tips. They're funny, and they're funny, which I think is an important part. So you can follow them at 3nonjoggers.com, and one of the guys is just a mailman. He's not a jogger, and he just hangs out and he talks, and he's very funny. His name is Carl the Mailman on Twitter, 3nonjoggers Twitter, and Carl the Mailman on Twitter. So check them out.
I have no confidence that you're going to like just sit there quietly.
Yes. I have one more podcast. And guys, this is a scoop because this podcast is going live tomorrow.
Wow.
And it's three of my favorite people. Maggie Sirota, who was a guest of ours, Super Maggie. Daniel Ralston.
Oh, nice.
Formerly of the Greyhounds, who we played on the show many years ago, and Daniel sold 8 copies of that record. He likes to.
Eight
yes.
Yeah.
And Daniel and Maggie are joined by Tom Sharpling of The Best Show.
Nice.
And this is a new podcast called Low Times Podcast that will go live tomorrow. And they do music interviews that are really, really good. They're music geeks, and they interview other bands. I mean, they interview bands, and they geek out, and it's a lot of fun. So, three of my favorite people. And lastly, Eli Braden, of course, and yes. Check out his Song of the Day with Eli Braden. Wow, I was almost out of breath. Like, I was out of shape for that shout. Like,
oh,
I
you're just, not in bad shape as shit.
I know. My God. Do we have a bouncer or somebody who could get rid of one of our... She's crazy.
This is the last we've ever gotten.
We have Nikki Waters' biggest fan in the audience. Heather Stahl Marone Hall Stahl .net. I'm sorry. We totally derailed the great cheese conversation. Is that okay, madam?
No, I'm loving it.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're respecting the cheese and all the
such assholes.
The cheese. You're really.
Yeah. Like you said, they're a bunch of assholes. Madam, what would you like to shout out? What's something that you know like people to know about?
It something could be... I'm loving right now.
Yeah.
Bitters.
What?
Nice.
Bitters.
Oh yeah.
I just have had this newfound love with bitters. If I wasn't blogging about cheese, I would blog about bitters.
You mean like the drink bitters?
I'm thinking like the stuff the that you can drop into a beverage. Bitters.
I don't know what that is. I don't know. Yeah. Please.
Is it like bouillon?
You know, no. Well, kind of like.
I honestly don't know what it is.
It is what bouillon is to soup. Bitters is to say a Manhattan.
So it's like a cube.
No, it's like a liquid.
Are you serious?
I don't know what it... Well, if you go to...
If you've had a Manhattan, you've had bitters.
Well, if you go to England and you can order, you know, like a
drink.
You have to go
to England, though, right?
Yeah. No, but that's like a beer. Like, bitters is like a type of beer.
Well, but there's also, like, you can get these little vials that you stir into cocktails that are bitters. There's, like...
You hang out at different places.
I do.
A little more...
You can get, like, blood orange bitters. You can get cherry bark bitters. You can get dandelion green bitters. Mm. Anyway, they're so good to put into sparkling water after you eat cheese because they kind of help you digest. It's like a little digestif. And now I feel like everywhere I go, I'm taking a little thing of bitters, and instead of just drinking straight-up water, little
So you take it out of your, like, purse, and you have bitters in there.
I've been collecting bitters, and there's one that's actually a breath mist.
My goodness.
Or you can spray your glass just to have, like, a little light coat.
You're totally going to get stopped at the airport.
Right? Yeah, you really are.
Terrorist.
Bitter terrorist. Don't you wish there was a better name for it, though?
No, I love it, and I bet there's some bitters at the bar. Right, bartender? I'm going to go back and have a little bitters in a little bit.
Doobie, do we have bitters at the bar? You do.
He gave the nod.
He gave a very cocksure nod. Like, of course we have bitters at the bar.
Well,
there it is. Just showed some bitters.
People do know what this
Doobie,
is.
Doobie, expect a rush on bitter drinks in within 5 minutes of this podcast ending. Anything else, madam? This has been really, really fun. Let's give it up for Madam Fromage, everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
And Madam, of course, our helper.
Yes. My friend Amay Knight, who runs the blog Aesthetically.
Aesthetically. Excellent. Thank you.
Social media guru.
Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. Nikki, thank you, as always, for just, you know.
Being a dick.
Being the quiet voice of reason, if you will. I don't know. Miss Stahl.
Funny.
Todd, Russ. Everybody here, thank you very much for coming out. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon. Newsweek's Radio Podcast 90. And this is our last song. This is a Todd Marone pick, everybody. I'm going to talk this one up like a radio DJ. It's called Good Thing Is a Ghost Town Around Here by the band Still Flying. They're going to be flying all night long. Me, you, Todd, Nikki, Madam Fromage, everybody's flying. Bitters. Bitterly flying. Flying with bitters and rust.
rhythm of falling.